Welcome back, Hoops HD fans. This is Championship.
Let me out of here.
Video notebook day
Let
number
me out of here.
Three. Day number
Let
three.
Me out of here. Yeah, it's day number three. I've been in here for 3 days, actually four. It's time for me to get out of here, Chad.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Slica, and live from the Puppet Bunker, still locked in, David Griggs. David,
Let me John, out of here.
We had an exciting day today, and it's good to see David still locked away where he belongs.
Let me out of here. I do not belong in here. I belong in New York with the selection committee. Oh, by the way, let's welcome the 10 selection committee members to our show tonight.
Yes, welcome, Matt, committee members. We're going to learn, tell you everything that you need to know about what happened today. We're going to start with a little news and notes, David. We had a few games outside of conference tournaments tonight that I think were notable, probably most notable, Butler laying a double overtime egg at St. John's when St. John's was playing without Shamari Pons.
Yeah, they could have really done without that. I don't think it knocks them outside the bubble, but it certainly knocks them down the list a little bit. And, you know, not quite a lock. I don't know. Butler's had some great moments, but they've had some real stinkers too, and today was certainly one of them.
And
losses
the
are
problems.
Racking up, yeah.
The other problem for Butler is now they have to finish the season at Seton Hall, which is anything but a given. So I believe a loss drops would drop them to 9-9 in the Big East, but only a notable win against Ohio State outside of the league.
And that's probably good enough, but it's certainly not good.
And, you know, the other notable game tonight, Villanova did get by Seton Hall in overtime. Also, Clemson knocked off Florida State. Xavier knocked off Providence. Those were some of the most notable games, I guess. Two other games of note, actually, that from the bottom of Division I, San Jose State, right before we went to the air, got their first conference win of the season, leaving Chicago State and Pitt as the only teams without conference wins. And congratulations to the Pittsburgh Panthers. Did complete the 0-18 regular season.
And they have it in them to go 0-19.
One more game left. Just the first. Probably no. It looks like probably Notre Dame in that first game. So not a.
Yeah.
Useless trivia. Kevin Stallings still has one more win in the ACC tournament than Jim Boeheim does.
That's
good one, John.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice, yeah. Nice. One more thing before we actually get to the games. I want to do a screen share on some standings, actually. Coming up tomorrow night, we are going to have the conclusion of the MEAC regular season. And I just got to show the standings here in the MEAC. This is amazing heading into the final game day of the season tomorrow.
It really is, because right now, If all this holds and we have the matchups there, we would have a situation to where a team that tied for a first place finish was actually wearing dark jerseys in the quarterfinals.
Possibly, yes. Well, two of them do play each other, so we're going to have a mostly a four team tie. But fourth place has to play an opening round game. So tie for first has to play an opening round game in this tournament, possibly.
Right. Which is, I mean, kind of ridiculous. Now, you're talking about playing against Delaware State, so it's a very winnable opening round game. But, again, what a year for the MEAC. You have Savannah State. What a story that is with Save the Tigers, by the way. We'll get to more of that during the conference tournament. We are really, really, really rooting for them. And North Carolina A&T, one of the worst teams in Division I last year, here they are tied for first place in conference with a winning overall record. Chance to go to a postseason tournament, either the NIT or the NCAA.
And by the same token, the only team that could have a chance of winning outright in the MEAC would be the Hampton-Norfolk State winner, and would assume that the other three teams would actually lose. But given some of the opponents, that's rather unlikely.
Hampton had – we covered that, didn't we? Hampton had a rather eventful weekend against Morgan State.
We didn't really cover that. I don't believe we did it because that was after our last Under the Radar show. We may have mentioned it in one of our other shows, but yeah, Hampton Morgan against Morgan State, very nasty fight. My understanding allegedly is that law enforcement officials had to go out there to stop the Morgan State player who was attacking the Hampton player. That player is now out for the rest of the season, or at least through the first round of the MEAC tournament. And the game ended up being a forfeit. So While most people have writing down the 53-37 final there for Hampton over Morgan State, in the books it's going to go down as a 2-0 victory for Hampton.
Yeah, and from what we understand, it didn't spill over into the stands. It was just really nasty between the players on the court. Fortunately, as bad as it was, fortunately, it didn't get any uglier than what it did. So, but kind of... Hampton's just not very well liked these days. And then Coach Bozeman had been ejected before this even happened, so not having the head coach out there may have escalated things even more, or may have made it a little bit harder to get it under control. Anyway, on to what's next.
Let's go on to the conference tournament games that were played today. And I hate to do this, but I'm going to start with the Northeast. And Stalica, you just kicked all our asses last night when you came out on the show and predicted that both the 6 and 7 seeds would pull road upsets. And I give up. I can't predict games anymore. You can. So,
Be fair, you gave one of the secrets away last year when you said, hang on to Robert Morris as an upset pick. But it was a bit of a reach going for Fairleigh Dickinson. But since this is a conference, it's going to reseed. Robert Morris will get a trip to Wagner, and Fairleigh Dickinson will actually go to Brooklyn to face LIU.
Yeah, I called LIU Brooklyn yesterday, remember?
The only one of these three games remember? The four games that was completely uncompetitive was that LIU Brooklyn's SFPK game. Really disappointing for the battle.
Yeah, that was the one we were excited about the most. You might think I picked SF Brooklyn, but I picked LIU. I just got confused. The
Bobby Moe Mount St. Mary's game, though, what a finish. It was really a 2-point finish. There was a dunk at the buzzer that made it 4 on the margin. But, really great game there.
Yeah, and that, the other game, like St. Francis PA and Fairleigh Dickinson was really good, too. The margin was 9, but with about less than 30 seconds to go, it was still up for grabs. They kind of blew it open at the end.
But it didn't help St. Francis PA that they started their game with their feet in the sand. So they were down, I think, 21-8 in the first 10 minutes of that one.
Yeah, it didn't really show up at home. Kind of a good year for them, but it's over now. Well, what do you think? They might get into the CIT. There might be a postseason tournament in their future after all.
Yeah, there might be for them. Mount St. Mary's also just finished with a winning record. They'll be on the board at least as a candidate for the CIT. At this point, I'm going Wagner all the way, but for all I know, it's going to be Robert Morris and Fairleigh Dickinson in the championship game.
Which means Fairleigh Dickinson would host.
Slika, where are you going with the rest of the tournament now that you've proven that you're a god at selecting these games?
Well, I'm not going to double down on Robert Morris, but I do think Fairleigh Dickinson does have a good shot of advancing to the title game here.
I just noticed CBS Sports Network has had this tournament for the last several years. I don't know how many. ESPN getting it this year. I did not realize that they had made the move. So I don't know if that's good, bad, both, or neither, but just interesting.
I think CBS had the semifinals at one point for a couple of years, but ESPN's always had the championship game, actually, David.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But you may be thinking of the Colonial.
NBC's got or had the Colonial. I don't know. Chad keeps up with all this better than I do.
Yeah. The ESPN 3 having the semifinals is new this year in the Northeast Conference. That is a change. But let's go over to the most important game of the day in the Big Ten tournament. And for those of you that, this should be on all our screens at least here, but way over there on the left-hand side, left bottom, left corner, Rutgers 65, Minnesota 54. Minnesota team that had absolutely no desire to be playing basketball tonight, David.
None. And you just wondered, why even bother? I hope they have a nice ride home tonight or flight home tonight and that they enjoyed their time in New York. I find it interesting, these ladder formats for these power conferences with bloated membership, you are as far away from winning the conference tournament if you're playing today as you are from making the national title game in the NCAA tournament, 5 rounds.
Yeah, that's a long way to go for Rutgers. Iowa wins the other game, Sleeka. They kind of had that in hand most of the game, I think, as well, didn't they?
Well, Iowa started to pull away early in the second half and certainly were helped with an untimely technical by Brad Underwood, but it seemed to be pretty much a chalk, at least in that part of the bracket, though.
All right. And we've got four games coming up tomorrow. Maryland, Wisconsin, Michigan, Iowa, Penn State, Northwestern, Indiana, Rutgers. David, any upsets you're seeing here tomorrow? I mean, Maryland, Wisconsin, it's not really an upset either way, but the other three games at least.
I don't think so. Maybe Northwestern over Penn State. But, again, I still think this Penn State has it in them to play their way into the championship game and lose just to make us crazy. But anyway, like, not to look ahead, but I mean, you know, by the time we get down to the quarters, it's starting to get kind of fun.
Speaking of teams that have mailed it in, I don't have a good feeling about Maryland, but Northwestern is another team that really hasn't been the same since their meltdown against Michigan State.
I've just, you know, my biggest rooting interest, obviously, tomorrow night is Rutgers against Indiana. My second biggest is Northwestern over Penn State because I want them off any board to the extent anybody still thinks that they're there. Hopefully nobody still thinks they are, but if they do, a loss tomorrow and that's it for them.
Well, you know, if they beat Ohio State and Purdue, they're going to be on the board, Chad. Yeah, they're going to be on the board, Chad.
Ohio Valley Conference also started today with the first round games, which saw Tennessee Tech take care of Edwardsville, and Eastern Illinois hold off a very, very late run by Tennessee State, David, to sneak out that last game.
Aided by some horrendous free throw shooting down the stretch by Eastern Illinois, but they did hold on to get the win. Austin Peay was really good season once they got in the conference play here for Austin Peay. I think it's over for Eastern Illinois tomorrow, but they do live to see another day.
I think it's over for both teams that played today. I don't think Tennessee Tech threw a shot against Jayville State either.
Right. But if the chalk holds, that's a fun little semifinal.
That'd be great semifinals, actually. Belmont, Austin Peay, Murray, Jacksonville State. That'll obviously get really fun once we get to that semifinal round. Today was kind of a throwaway, I think, though.
Right, yeah.
Some conferences that are in action tomorrow that we've already had some action in, but they're back in action tomorrow, including the Big South, where it is quarterfinal day, full day of games there in Asheville, North Carolina. The bottom two games are the early session between Radford, Longwood, Winthrop, Gardner-Webb, Asheville against Charleston Southern, and Campbell against Liberty in the late session. Salika, you looking at any upsets here tomorrow?
As for tomorrow, I would probably say the closest I could think of would be Gardner-Webb. I mean, Winthrop did have, I think, a share of the lead in the Big South before starting to fall off the table. And I would probably say as my pick to win it, I would say Radford here.
Yeah, David, I think you got to circle that late game there between Campbell and Liberty, not in terms of an upset, but in terms of a fun game. Chris Clemens for Campbell, one of the most exciting under-the-radar players out there, and a pretty good Liberty team he's up against.
Yeah, that's the one to really watch. All the rest of them, I mean, I think you're looking at three blowouts, honestly, in one really good game. I mean, by the time this gets down to the semis, it's going to be pretty good because, you know, Winthrop, they've been at the top, although they've been on a little bit of slide at the end of the regular season. Radford, you know about them. Asheville won the regular season and hosting, and it's going to be fun. I mean, whether it's Campbell or Liberty, but especially if it's Campbell, I mean, that has the potential, again, of being a really good semi, but we just kind of got to get through tomorrow before we get to that.
Another conference in quarterfinal action is the Patriot League tomorrow. These games are all on campus sites, all starting at the exact same time, so you're going to have to get a few extra screens ready at around 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Yep. Loyola at Bucknell, BU at Lehigh, Lafayette at Colgate, Holy Cross at Navy. David, any upsets coming tomorrow in the Patriot?
If you want to call it that, I like Boston U to beat Lehigh, but all the rest I think the chalk holds.
Yeah, John, you agree?
I give Holy Cross maybe about a 30% shot of winning at Navy. I certainly don't see Bucknell or Colgate losing any of the quarters here.
Yeah, that's what I agree with you there. Holy Cross, I think they may take out Navy. Navy lost some games that they should have won late in the season, and I'm not that certain that they're playing very well right
Yep. And to be honest, they have a horrible track record in this tournament. So,
a long time since they won it. They have won it before, but it's been a while. Yeah.
You have to go back to 1998 when Navy last won it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. There we go. One more conference that's back in action that we've already discussed a little bit. It is the first conference to reach the semifinal round. Semifinal night in the Atlantic Sun. North Florida at Gulf Coast, Jacksonville at Lipscomb. Unfortunately, David, I think I'm looking at two blowouts here.
Kind of feels that way. Maybe Jacksonville can keep it, cannot get blown out, but they probably will get blown out. The final should be fun, but again, it seems like every tournament that we preview tomorrow is one round away from being really good.
Well, maybe we get something a little bit better here, and we've got – couple of conferences that are starting things off tomorrow, including its first round day in the Missouri Valley Conference. Doubleheader tomorrow night between Evansville, Northern Iowa, Missouri State, Valpo.
Yeah.
Those two games, I guess tomorrow is disappointment night with Northern Iowa and Valpo, two teams we liked early in the season.
In Missouri also, State as well at one point. It's just crazy to think that we were talking – Northern Iowa is a team that went down and had some big wins down of it in Atlantis and really played well against Villanova. And we were talking about how good they were. They were the number one team for several weeks in a row and are under the radar top 10. And I still can't help but think that they've got it in them to at least win tomorrow. But they've been disappointing. Remember when Valpo went in to play Purdue, we're talking about if they get this win, you know, you're talking about maybe inside the bubble. Oh, my God. Missouri State was tops in the conference for a little bit. Just a horribly disappointing. Yeah, like you said, it's not quarterfinal. It's quarterfinal Friday, but it's disappointment Thursday tomorrow.
Well, let's talk about who we think is going to win this event because it's the first time we've discussed the Missouri Valley. And this is a conference arch madness here that has historically had a lot of upsets in the conference tournament, had more chalk the last couple of years. I'm going back with the upsets, but I'm going with the 2 seed overall. I'm
yes.
going with Barry Hinson.
Yes.
Barbecue sauce. Northern Illinois salute.
Yeah. And it's just a shame that they're not playing tomorrow, but yes, Barry Hinson, just because that's who I want. That's who I'm going for.
Stalika, you with me on the Barry Hinson Southern Illinois to win this?
I'm afraid I have my barbecue sauce in the kitchen, but I am with you as far as Southern Illinois winning the whole thing.
And it's going to be interesting if Loyola Chicago does make that final. I think they're going to get a long look from the committee, though, especially because they had injury problems with a few of their bad losses, David.
Yeah, if the committee gives them credit for that, then yeah, I think you have to look at them. And the other thing, if they're the first place team, so what – I don't. If they're, this is how I feel about it, and as you know, you've been on the committee with me. If they're inside the bubble now and they avoid a bad loss in this tournament, or they may play their way into the championship and lose, well, you shouldn't knock them simply because they didn't repeat what they've already done. I think if they play their way into the final, they should be in. If you think they're in now, then don't knock them out if they play their way into the final. That's how I feel about it.
I think the other interesting thing is Bradley could be an interesting matchup for Loyola if they're able to get past Drake in their quarter on Friday.
I think either one of them is an interesting matchup. Drake's had a really good season there under Nico Medved, right, the head coach there?
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
And Bradley, Bradley already beat Loyola. So, I mean – granted it was at Bradley, but yeah, I mean, this doesn't have, I'm not going to compare it to a power conference, but there's a lot of good teams in this conference.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a real fun tournament this year. We no longer have it to roll over everybody also. So,
right. Yeah.
Two other conferences tipping off, but the next conference up that's tipping off tomorrow is the Metro Atlantic. And David, this is one of our favorite days. I know it's not the all men's side quintuple header, but the Metro Atlantic is going to play the three women's first round games beginning at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah.
Go all the way until midnight. A six tuple header here coming in the Metro Atlantic.
Yeah, it really is kind of incredible. Starting off at 9 in the, yeah, like you said, that's a full day of basketball. That's a lot of hoops. And we really need to get Lee Delvecchio out there, although it's not in his neck of the woods anymore. But that was fabulous, Massachusetts. Fortunately, we get the opening round games because for many years you didn't.
Well, and yeah, we'll be able to watch all these games tomorrow. And it's great the way that this conference set up, actually. We have a first-round game tomorrow between Monmouth and St. Peter's, two of the Jersey schools. The winner gets Rider, the third New Jersey school. We got an Iona-Manhattan, one of the best rivalries out there in the quarterfinals. We have potential Canisius-Niagara semifinal, the way things are set up. The two rivals out there in Western New York. So a lot of fun potential matchups here coming in the Metro Atlantic.
Yeah, and a lot of good rivalries in this conference. I don't think Siena and Marist are going to end up meeting. That's kind of a nice rivalry, too, although they came in 10th and 11th this time around.
So, no, I don't think they're meeting.
Yeah, but we love Jimmy Patsos, though. It's Siena.
We do. We do. But David, as far as tomorrow goes, there's only one team that I know is going to win. There they are, the Monmouth Hawks.
Yep, there you right go. There, all right, sporting the Monmouth.
I'm ready for Monmouth. I'm ready for them. They're going to
hopefully Monmouth can win this tournament since they got completely screwed out of a bid the last 2 years. How ironic would that be?
The thing is, I'm not sure that's far-fetched this year because Monmouth has actually started to play much better the past few weeks. I don't know that they beat Ryder, but they're certainly dangerous enough to keep it close.
John, they blew out Ryder by 25 points last week. Not only did they beat Ryder, they crushed him last week. I'm picking Monmouth out of the eighth seed to win this entire event, David. Your call?
Sure, why not? It's fun. Just because it's the fun pick. Just because it's the team that should have that deserved to be in the tournament the last 2 years. 2 years ago, they got snubbed by the committee. Last year, maybe they didn't deserve it at large, but they were certainly the most deserving team in this conference. Had to go and play on the road because this conference is stupid. But, yeah, this is the year they do it. Monmouth all the way to the championship.
On the road, but not on Siena's home floor.
Yeah.
Salika, where are you going?
I am actually going to go with Ryder here, given that they would have a dangerous opener.
You go with Ryder to win it all.
If there is a noisemaker in this field, I would actually say Fairfield has a chance to possibly win two or three before getting to the final.
We have one other conference tournament that's tipping off tomorrow. It's not a Division I tournament, but here it is. Pac-West, Cal Baptist, team of the people. Their opponent's going to be decided tomorrow night, David.
Yeah, and again, you got to admire Chaminade and Arizona Pacific. Who is that? To go out and play. Because you just know, they know they're going to lose. What's the point?
Azusa, Dixie State waiting for the winner of Point Loma and Concordia. You can watch them. They're all going to be streamed on the PacWest website. Salika, I know you'll be tuned into them, right?
Yep, I'll be taking a peek at it at some point.
All right. There's the PacWest games. We'll update you more about it tomorrow night or the next few nights here as Cal Baptist gets ready for the Division II NCAA tournament. And we'll talk about that at some point as well. Let's go ahead and pull that down here for a second. That's all the games. We have a few more things we want to hit on, though. What do we do next? Survival board?
Yes, we got to update that. We got to update that.
There we go. Survival board. Okay.
Yeah.
David, can you tell everybody that might not be familiar with it what the survival board is all about here?
Well, this is everybody that is still playing and that can, in theory, they're either in their conference tournaments or will be in their conference tournaments or could still qualify for their conference tournaments. And so, in theory, they could win the automatic bid and make the NCAA tournament and even win the national championship. These are the number of teams that are going to get to play until they lose, and we've got them all listed here. So that's what it is in a nutshell. Another thing that it is that it is a valuable tool and resource for the selection committee. They're watching tonight, I'm sure. They have the internet in the room so they can log on to this page and see what they're supposed to be doing because there's like four little categories there. First is the conference champions. Those are the automatic bid winners. Those are bold and in all caps. Those teams are getting in. The other category is locks. Like, these are teams that maybe they all win the conference tournament, maybe they won't, but the committee will take. So when a committee member sees a team in bold, they know, oh, we need to select that team. Others are just under consideration. Maybe they'll get in, maybe they won't. It's too hard to say. And the committee knows to look at those. And then the fourth category is everybody else, and it's just without the automatic bid, you're not going to take those teams. And as those teams are eliminated from their tournaments, they're eliminated from this board.
And heading into play today, we had 329 teams left. Let's go and update and see what happened as a result of today's games.
Yeah. And, oh, wow, down to 321.
Teams fell off, 321.
Right, so I guess we had, we had four in the Northeast fall out. I guess we had two in the Ohio Valley and two in the Big Ten.
That's correct. We had eight teams fall off. You can see now the Big Ten, Maryland is not on there at all. I'm sorry, Maryland's still on there. Minnesota's not on there at all anymore. Illinois is not on there anymore. They should not even be considered. Michigan and Michigan State, Ohio State, do have to be in.
Right. So now the committee knows, okay, we're not going to select Minnesota or Illinois.
Right. They don't have to be thought about. But, you know, a team like Penn State or Nebraska could at least get a little bit of debate at this point. We may change that as time goes on, a few more games get played.
Right,
right now we'll let them debate them for a little bit at least.
Yeah. All right. I'm ready to get out of this bunker.
You're ready to get out of the bunker? Well, we've got I think we want to do a little update here on one other thing before we get to
I'm ready to get out of this bunker.
Well, but David, right here, what is the status of Grambling?
Oh, yes, the Grambling waiver. Okay, they are ineligible because of an APR ban. They're in first place in the SWAC, but it's one of the best teams that they've had in recent memory. I don't know that they've ever finished first in the SWAC or in any conference before, although maybe they have. So what we've decided to do is fill out a waiver and appeal the decision with the NCAA and try and get them a waiver so they can play in the conference tournament and then in theory make the NCAA tournament. I see this is the waiver we filled out here. So what do we got here?
It says here it's for Grambling in the SWAC. They we got a phone waiver? No, but we should have gotten
one. Called, but like nobody answered the phone. I don't know why the NCAA would be so busy these days. You just can't seem to get all of them.
We tried to call we tried to call our conference office. They also were too busy.
Right.
So a lot of people.
I didn't know the SWAC had a conference office, but.
Why do we need the waiver here? It says they banned us and we're having our best season ever. It's just completely unfair.
Yeah, and then and then again, like we're the ones that said what we're doing here is we're referring the NCAA to us because we will explain why they need to be in. So,
there it is.
Yeah,
And you see here it is an online reporting system. So, David, this video, our Chancery League video notebook, is online.
Yes, correct? And you submit this. So this is our submission. This video
form
right
is therefore this form is now online. So NCAA, is submitted.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. And the selection committee's watching. So
yes. Yeah. So selection committee. Grambling is a team that we are going to allow you to consider because they may get this waiver granted. We'll be following up over the course of the next 2 weeks and with a little more on this though.
Right. And hopefully, and you know how it is, they're kind of busy. We might hear something tomorrow, though. We might hear something the next day. If we don't hear something soon, we might need to change the waiver up. But,
John, we started, you were here last night also when we started our new trivia contest we're doing. We realized after the show that we didn't have any prizes for the trivia. And David somehow influenced some of our committee members who were creating the trivia questions.
Yep. Yes.
And we have some breaking news that we have decided that if David can correctly answer a trivia question, we will let him out of the pocket.
Yes.
For that day.
And these are college basketball questions, right? So I should know all of them.
We're going to go. I'm going to pick one out of here. Go with this one right here. Okay. Here's our trivia question for the day. John, you can help out with this also. David, you can get help from John. I'm going to let you do that, okay?
Okay, yeah, I'm right. Getting out of this bunker.
Right, here's our question. North Carolina State, coached by Jim Valvano, won the 1983 national championship over top-ranked Houston in one of the biggest upsets in championship game history. Name the winning team's coach.
Oh, well, it said it in the – oh, I know this. It said it in the question. It was Jimmy Valvano. He had a great career there. It was a real improbable year because I think they started off ranked. They had a key player get injured. They had him back by the NCAA tournament. They ended up with a sixth seed, but I think going into the ACC tournament, they were really bubblish because you got to remember, I think the field was only 48 teams, maybe it was 52. So even though they ended up with a sixth seed, that was after several huge wins in the ACC tournament that before they got, it looked like they were not going to make the bubble. But you know, Jim Valvano won his only national title there. It's the last one that NC State's won. Real iconic national championship. So it's Jim Valvano.
It was a 52-team field because there were actually four playing games.
Oh, okay, yeah. So
because they had two in Dayton.
Yeah,
Dave,
but
this is a history question. Yeah. Salika is history is a college basketball history buff. You want to you may want to confer with him before you lock in as your final answer.
Well, the answer was in the question. Read the question again, Ken.
We'll check the envelope now, and here's the answer. The answer is Jerry Tarkanian.
What the? No, you said in the question, you that's not – who the hell is fact-checking these answers? Last night you said Duke and never made the NCAA tournament.
Sorry, David. Another day in the
book. That's not right. That's blatantly wrong. It's common knowledge that Jim Valvano was the coach.
I'm sorry. The answer is there. It's the truth. Jerry Tarkanian coached Jim Valvano's NC State team to a national championship in 1983.
Think about what you just said.
On that note, let's go to some final thoughts. Salika, you want to start us off?
If you could, please, go back to the PacWest bracket and pull that up. Because I want to do an update as far as the, was it, regional rankings that took place in Division II today. Four out of the six teams that are in this bracket are actually going to be in the top eight right now. Cal Baptist checks in at number two. Dixie State checks in at number four. Point Loma checks in at number five. And Azusa Pacific is number eight at the moment. However, here is the kicker. There are three automatic bid winners, so if someone outside of the top eight were to steal a bid, that probably would knock Azusa Pacific out. So if a team like Concordia or Chaminade, for example, there is a potential bid thief in the West region in D2.
All right, but they're not going to knock Cal Baptist out, correct?
No.
That's all that matters, right?
Yes.
David, your final thoughts.
Well, Jerry Tarkanian never coached at NC State. You're going to need to fact check these a little better. I'm starting to think that we're hurting our credibility here. Anyway, it seems like every year I just think back like championship week. It always seems to get off to a slow rolling start, but it ends in a flurry. And I think that my memories of it are always the way it is at the end, but tomorrow is going to be a little more exciting. And then after that, it's just balls on. But, sometimes you got to get these opening round games out of the way, but they are fun because while a lot of the teams that we've seen play so far probably aren't going to go anywhere or even win their own conference tournaments, these are still intense, exciting games because really they're just trying to play to keep their season going for as long as they can. So I don't know. I'm still, especially two of those Northeast games, those are just a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it was a real fun night tonight. I got to second that, especially those two games, the wins, and both of which end up being the upsets with Fairleigh Dickinson and Robert Morris pulling off the road upsets. But we do have a much bigger slate of games even tomorrow night, and then we're going to – just the number of games each day is going to really build up as we move forward. So I do want to thank everybody for joining us, and we will talk to you again tomorrow night. Actually, two shows tomorrow, David. We're going to be doing a bracket rundown show.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
That we'll be recording. And then after all the games finish, we'll also do a championship week video notebook. So lots of stuff to watch on the website both tomorrow night and Friday morning. So have a great night or a great day, everybody.